life with the girlfriends, and I was always going to say that. I just was going to just dig the music. I just start digging on the music.
Yeah. Well, we're Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
And you know what? We're girlfriends, but we also just happen to be mother and daughter as well.
And for the last, yes, and we're coaches, and you got your master's degree in counseling, and we like to talk about life and really trying to get more of it, whatever that means to us.
Absolutely.
To yourself. And that's kind of what life's about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to kind of figure out, we're only here once, unless you believe in reincarnation,
but even if you remember it. Still like to do a good job here.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Even if it's not YOLO.
What does that mean, YOLO?
YOLO? You only live once.
Oh.
Come
exactly.
on.
I don't believe by that philosophy.
That's a Kardashian.
Oh, is it?
My feeling is that
the only time I've ever heard that philosophy is when a guy was trying to do something with me, like, hey, you only live once. I'm like, oh, yeah. I've heard that before. Close your ears, Mama.
I'm going to go la 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 la.
Exactly.
I'm not going to hear that.
It's usually about peer pressure. Well, you only live once.
Mm.
Really? Okay. I'll live to see another day then.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk. What are we going to talk about tonight? I do want to talk about an Elliot update.
We're going to have a lot because we've had a very interesting holiday season. And we're glad it's getting close to the end. We were talking to our engineer, and he was like, it's been a beautiful holiday season, and it's been warm and cozy and good
and
family.
I felt a little lack.
like we're tired.
we had a talent show on Christmas Eve, and everybody comes for that. And four of us did the sock puppet song from Pitch Perfect.
That was
and
hysterical.
I spent about 2 hours making those damn sock puppets.
For a 2-minute song. Literally 1.5 minutes.
Well, yeah, not even.
1.5 minutes.
Yeah. But it was fun to, you know, holding our arms up and going, F you very, very much.
It was hysterical.
That was great because I really felt that way.
Yes.
At that moment in time. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays and the meltdowns and all the good stuff.
And the celebrations.
And the celebrations.
And what would you know?
I wanted to talk about Elliot, our little 10-week-old puppy or 8-week-old puppy.
And this is the last of us just talking for a while because we're going to start having more interviews next week.
Yes, we're starting in January of 2015. Yay, happy new you, happy new you. I have a feeling, though, that, I don't know, it's going to be loaded. 2015 is going to be just like...
Well, if you listen to...
Rockin'.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
And also, though, but if you listen to, some of the
Prophets of Doom?
Yes, the Prophets of Doom. It's going to be a Prophet of Doom. It's going to be a cleansing year.
Well, I'm not going to participate in... I'm only going to participate in good stuff.
And I want
How
to participate in cleansing that's good for me.
Yes, exactly.
I'm okay for that, you know? I believe that things can happen. We don't have to participate with them. I mean, there are times that if we never listen to the news, we would never know what was going on, and our life could just go on the same.
But, you know, you're right. I can remember talking to Norm Sturman Norman, my husband, your dad, his mom. And, they lived in rural Illinois. They were farmers and stuff. And she said that she never even knew there was a depression, you know, that people were jumping off of buildings and, and soup lines. And, you know, she said her life didn't really change.
They farmed.
They farmed.
They ate what they grew, and they had animals, and they were pretty self-contained off the grid.
In some way, they just, they didn't participate. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that
isn't that interesting? I mean,
I know.
Having this diverse economy that we do have now,
we
can choose not to participate. As well as, though, this idea that there are people that things, they don't connect with what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And probably are better for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is kind of, we hadn't planned on talking about that, but remember Sir John Templeton?
Yeah.
And what was his, he had like a formula or something that he believed in.
Well,
optimum fear is
a great time to buy.
It's a great time to buy, right.
And optimum
optimism
is a great time to sell.
Yeah. And I kind of always, once I heard that, it's like, yeah, you know, you can live inside out.
Yes.
Out of the box.
Exactly.
You don't have to be, a lemming.
Mm-hmm.
Do what everybody says you should do.
Well, it's interesting because we want to talk about family situations today, and I had a situation come up with me where I was almost brought into an idea that, you know, to help someone, a family member, if they wanted it, offer advice and so forth, if you want to call it that. And I don't do that with everybody. It's not my business. I usually believe...
You, a coach?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that.
Not to family.
Well,
not to family, because I really believe that people have the right to be who they want to be, you know. And
mm-hmm.
But
as annoying
was,
as... Oh.
But as a person, she was struggling with her children, and they're adult children, and she wanted a better relationship. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to stretch a little bit. And I said, because this is
you're
going to
stretch her a little bit.
And stretch her and myself, mm-hmm. and put myself on a limb just a little bit. I said, you know, here's one thing I do know about, and that's how to have successful adult relationships with your family members. Because I have those.
You do.
There's not one I don't have a successful relationship with a family member. I can tell you, I can give you insights and clues on how to do that.
So you're telling her this.
I'm telling her this. So mm-hmm. I can talk about that a little later. I'll leave that dangling out there as a little thread. But so I want to talk about that. But I also want to talk about last week, we mentioned this idea of everyone being 100% committed in our goals,
mm-hmm.
in our new goals for
mm-hmm.
2015,
mm-hmm.
and what that meant. And I'll tell you what, I didn't make it this week. Even though I knew it was the holidays, but even non-holiday moments, I wasn't making it. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm 100% committed today to recommit to that,
mm-hmm.
that philosophy.
Well, the philosophy is, I mean, it sounds a little harsh the way you're saying it.
You're right, it is.
But the idea is that it's simple.
Yes.
It's actually quite downstream.
Yes.
To be 100% committed to something, because you just go, wait a minute, no, wait, here's my answer. It's
yes.
this, because I'm 100% committed.
Well, and exactly. And
as opposed to being like 99% committed, where one toe is in the water and then, you know.
And it doesn't mean that you're not making mistakes, or you're not even making choices, but you're still 100% committed.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree with that.
And I felt committed this week. I could have been committed this week.
That's right.
And so I'm open to being more committed this week. I'm deciding for sure. These are the goals I'm working on, and I'm 100% committed to achieving these goals. With knowing that the work is done, seeing that it's all done, completed, and then I have to just go through this process, and I know the process. Let's go through it. No hassles, no judgment calls. There will be obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get through them.
No overthinking,
no
overanalyzing. I mean, that was one of the tools I was suggesting when I was talking to Starman Norman. He has a tendency to overanalyze something.
Right.
And say one thing and then
take it back right away.
Think himself out of it.
Yes.
And I said, just commit.
Yeah, just commit.
Just commit.
Well, and I think it's about relationships as well, because the one thing that you and I are and our family is we're 100% committed to each other. No matter what we choose to do in our business life or in other lives, other areas of our life, our relationships are never on the line.
Correct.
And that doesn't mean they're perfect. It just means that they're never on the line. And knowing that...
Somebody is, you know, nobody's willing to say, you know, walk away, slam
right.
the door, and...
It's done.
...not see each other for 20 years, you know.
Exactly. And I think that's one key to having a successful relationship with family members.
Yes.
Especially between adult children and adults, because we all know where all the skeletons are buried, right? We've seen our parents grow up with us in some ways,
mm-hmm.
and they know all our skeletons and
mm-hmm.
all our mistakes.
You're talking about hot buttons.
Hot buttons, exactly.
Well, you know, so why don't you give a A little background, if you want to, on this story, because I think it's interesting, at the very least.
Oh, right, and I was with Doug and his family, with a big family, and I was with his family a lot during.
There's like 49 children in this family.
Not quite, but it feels like that sometimes.
Yeah. And all those children have
children.
Yeah.
And they have children.
Children. Yeah.
Yes. And so on and so on and so on. And anyway, one of his sisters was in a really severe car accident about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. I don't know. And lost a leg during it, and has recovered. She's been on medications off and on through after the accident and so forth. But during this time, and even before this, she has really struggled to maintain relationships with her two children. And one was already married and now the house when this accident occurred, and one was younger and was raised by grandparents. Both sides really helped and chipped in and while she recovered and so forth, because it was a pretty long recovery process. But now that that's passed and things have settled down and so forth, she's never been able to quite get the relationships back on the right foot. Or even, like, I think about their relationship as like a train, you know, an old coal train.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been able to get enough coal in the engine for it to move.
Mm-hmm.
It just has just stalled. And, you know, here she is. I was talking to her, and she was making Christmas lasagna, and I was going to bring it over to her mom's house for the full family. And she was just struggling with time. I mean, you know, she was 3 hours late with the lasagna, and I got a phone call saying, "Hey, I can't take it anymore from a nephew of hers. Please rescue me. Please rescue me." I'm like, "Okay, we'll come over." And he left to go to his grandmother's house, and she was just being needy, you know, and needing attention.
And this is a you know, 50-something-year-old woman.
Yes, exactly. She's in her 50s,
mm-hmm.
and her youngest daughter is 18, so she had him a little older in life. But
mm-hmm.
And her oldest son's 30, so two children. And she just went on a rampage for like 30 minutes about how her kids never come and see her, you know, and they're just cruel to her because they never stop by. They don't care about her.
They're local, too.
They're local. Everybody lives in the same town, you know. And on and on and on and on.
And can I know, you know, you told me this story, but can I say that one of the lines that she told you?
Right.
When she was angry?
What?
She said, "I gave that kid the best, you know, 6 years of my life." I'm like, okay.
Yes, because there were issues before the. She was a single parent, so she worked a lot. But I remember one of the things was she said, "I gave my son, you know, the best 6 years of my life raising him, you know, and all he did was give me trouble." I'm like, well, it typically takes 18 years, just typically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes you get lucky and your kids are real independent and maybe mm-hmm. takes a little less and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I know she's on, you know, when she gets in these moods, she becomes very myopic and very victimized.
Mm-hmm. And you said, "Hey, would you like some coaching?"
After about 30 minutes, I didn't say coaching. Because
no.
That wouldn't
like
work.
Like some help. I can help you with this.
You know what, Drina? I may not know a lot about a lot of things. I go, but I know a lot about one issue, and that's how to have successful adult relationships with your kids or with your parents. I go, "Do you want me to help you with this? Because I could probably help you with this." Because I don't know. Well, I go, "Well, what do you think I should do?" I go, "Well, the first thing, I'm just going to ask you this one question, because this will either start the conversation or stop the conversation." I said, "Do you have room in your heart or in your life to forgive completely the past that your kids have not seen you? Can you just forgive the fact that they haven't stopped by? Because I'm guessing every time they have tried, you've mentioned to them several times that they don't come by." He goes, "Well, yeah, I do that." Like, "Okay, so could you completely forgive them?" And she goes, "You know what? I don't think I can. I'm too damn angry."
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding.
Okay,
fine. "Well, you know what then? Why would they come over?" I go, "Okay, well," I go, "well, maybe work on that. Let me know when you can be open enough that you want to forgive And I want her to actually ask for forgiveness because mm-hmm. I need some forgiving on her part, but mm-hmm. But that she's not there for that. Mm-mm. If she can come to a place where she completely forgives her children for whatever she thinks they did to her, that would be a good beginning part for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had mentioned that I would like to talk about this a little bit because it's been on my mind a lot. Because first off, I don't want to come across as somebody who knows or like puts their nose in people's business. Because I really do believe life is fluid. And you take one instant snapshot of anyone's life, and it can look crazy, mm-hmm. you know, especially mm-hmm. around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about anybody's life. I do know a little bit more about her life mm-hmm. because she's local, and I've known her for 15-plus years,
right,
and whatever.
Exactly.
I know her kids
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And I know her kids treat her mother so kindly. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's good character in my book. You know, they treat the grandmother kindly. So I know that there's something else going on there. And I'm brave enough to say, you know, this is something I do know enough about to help somebody with
right.
this. And for you and I, because we've worked on this, and is this idea that your relationship is never on the cutting board.
Right, chopping block.
Chopping block, yes. It doesn't mean that you have to see each other every day or talk all the time, or your kids are your rescuers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that have to take care of you.
See, this is where I think this is where a big crux of the problem is,
yes.
The issue, is that nobody is the adult here.
That's exactly right.
And my feeling is the kids have had to be
yes.
in that adult role.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got too many victims,
yes.
people thinking they're victims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm aware that it's kind of, you know, difficult territory here. You know, because as you say stuff, it's, you know, you're like, well, there's so many different angles, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try in general, too, because, yeah, there is so many different angles.
Yeah, but, I mean, if I was her therapist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she was sincerely looking to heal, you know, I mean, to me, I feel like I've had these clients where it may take a long time just to get to the point where they have to empty out
right.
enough where there's a void where they can say, wait a minute, maybe I did have something to do with it.
Right. Oh,
because
exactly.
usually they're so wounded
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, victimized that it's hard for them to see anything but their own anger
mm-hmm.
and their own pain. But let's assume that we got to that place.
Right.
Wouldn't you say, hey, you know, are you, somebody has to be the adult here.
Well, that's exactly right. Because in that relationship with her children, no one's willing to step up and be the adult.
Mm-mm.
And this is the other hard part, because reading that book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, was
mm-hmm.
it 7 Habits?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think
12, 100, whatever it is, you know. The one thing that whole book, the one thing I remember that was so powerful, and I read this, gosh, junior high maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it came out, years and years ago. It said to make emotional deposits in people's banks. So that someday you may need to make a withdrawal, and there are just times you're not getting anything out of it,
mm-hmm.
but you're making an emotional deposit.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with
that. And in our relationship, yours and mine, mm-hmm. mine and dad's, my mm-hmm. brother's and ours, every family member that I have, I've made emotional deposits when there was nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you. And then we've had times when we've just had fun.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing serious about anything.
No.
There was nobody needing anything. We just enjoyed their company.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, that takes a level of safety as well.
Yes.
Because I can remember, I couldn't do that with my mom.
No.
Because I would never know when, you know, the cradle would fall, you know,
right.
Just like something would break, you know.
Right.
And she'd go, you know, bananas.
Right.
So there's a level of safety, what you're talking about, which I honor, you know.
And it's interesting, so I'm just going to break off on this subject a little bit, because I'm not going to say that there's never abuse involved and that contact shouldn't be totally cut off or you're not healthier with it. But I do remember, you know, you and your mom, and that, you know, gratefully, much this last week, you didn't cut it off with your mom.
Right.
Because I don't think that would have solved the problem. She still would have kept real estate in your brain.
Right.
In
oh,
your
yes.
life.
Oh, yes.
And possibly more than just keeping the door open and having boundaries, hello, but still having a relationship.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. And I don't know, I think, yeah, I wish her children had someone in their life like you, because you would say, well, you can have boundaries. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to still have a relationship with your mom that maybe was only once a month and you took her out to dinner, a safe place,
right?
A distraction, you know?
Like, to be her is her daughter's 18, you said, right?
Yes.
And if I came in and, you know, if I was a kid and I came and visited and all I heard was like, you know, crap,
right.
How bad I am.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't want to visit very often.
Hello, and I think that's a key. So if you're a parent struggling with this, you're going to say, what if I stop complaining for a while?
Yeah.
You know, to anybody.
Yeah.
About this.
Right.
Because.
But again, that takes.
A level of maturity and adulthood.
A level of maturity and a level of self-esteem, really.
Yes, it does.
And healthy ego. Because you've got to be able, your ego has to be strong enough to sit on the backside, on the back
right.
burner,
right.
And, you know, let your kids come to the forefront, let them heal or, you know, whatever,
right.
And you just keep your mouth shut.
Right.
And be pleasant and spend some money. You know, go out to dinner.
Yeah, go out to dinner.
Fun.
Something fun.
Yeah, where
play
there's
cards.
Not, yeah.
You know.
Where you don't pull out the, you know, the card like, oh, here's where you made your mistake, or here's
yeah.
where you hurt me. And,
right, because as adults, I want to say, there's nothing you can do to, they're formed. They don't require an opinion about how they're living their life.
Right,
they're
especially
formed.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
Let them figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one preacher man was talking about, I see so many parents suffering over their children. And I said, you know, relax a little bit. Let God take care of this. Because let them have that moment for themselves when they discover God or Jesus, or when they discover the solution for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember how it felt when you figured it out,
mm-hmm.
and how grateful you felt and what it felt mm-hmm. like for you. I'm like, you know what?
I love that. By the way.
Yeah. When you think to yourself, like, you know what? Really, sometimes we're supposed to go through these problems ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, here, I'm here if you need me.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Because I just would have echoed that. I would have said, at some point, you know, you don't have a say in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, you did give them the best 6 years of your life or whatever.
6 years.
And you're not going to tell them how to live their life or where they're going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you now have a level of support that feels decent enough that, you know, you want to hang with them, that person.
Right.
They become, you know, just how do I support you?
Right. How do I support you?
Yeah, how do I support you?
You know? And it's the level that I would like to support you.
Because mm-hmm.
you certainly don't have to support people in ways you don't want to support them. I mean, as an adult, we're responsible for our own lives in so many ways,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we can get our needs met in a variety of different ways. But when I was talking to her, and when I realized, because I really believe that everything starts with forgiveness. Typically, for me, it starts with forgiving myself
mm-hmm.
and then others. But I always give people so much
yes, you do.
Leeway or space.
You do.
And I give people so much, like, benefit of the doubt. You didn't mean to say that to me. Well, kind of did, but no, you didn't mean it.
You're so good about that.
I don't know if it's good or not. It just
I don't, yeah,
it
I don't
is
know either, but grown. It is you, though. That is you.
It is me. I embrace that part of me, whatever that part is, and so forth. But, so, you know, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about someone having to be the adult. And also having the relationship never be on the cutting board, chopping board or whatever, thank you, you know.
Julieism.
Yeah.
Chopping block.
And then I also think there's a point where we just have to admit sometimes that this relationship can't be what I'd like it to be.
Right. Oh, 100%.
But it can be something else.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to have to gird themselves up to go visit their parent or
right.
something, you know? But a lot of people do.
Right. And I wouldn't want that.
Mm-mm.
And if I was a parent, I wouldn't want my kid to feel that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't want you to feel like this. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Do you not want big crowds? Hey, we'll just have you over for a small dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever's going on, I can be the adult here,
right?
Because I've been on the planet for 20 plus more years or whatever it
is. Yes, exactly.
Someone somewhere needs to be the adult.
Yeah.
And if two people aren't the adults, I wouldn't be an expert on that, on how to have successful relationships
when
they're not adults.
When I'm the adult, if I'm dealing with someone who is, I think for me, one of the difficult ones is they're particularly defensive.
Yes.
And if I find myself having to, like, watch every word, otherwise, you know, their feathers get ruffled,
right.
you know, their hackles get whatever, you know, up in. And so that's kind of, for me, a kind of a hot button. If someone who I want to support and I ends up being, like, so defensive, then I have to start watching every single word I say.
And that happens with us sometimes.
It does.
I know
it
that you're
does.
Talking about us.
No, I wasn't, though.
I know.
I wasn't.
Well, because...
But I know that it does, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there
it's
are...
It's almost like we get into a loop or something.
Well, and there are times when I you don't know this happens, but I just say, you know, Julie, what's going on? Don't get your feelings hurt about this. This mm-hmm. is not what she means.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't... She's not... No way in
You're
life.
You're saying, I got to be the adult here.
I'm being the adult here. I don't know how to tell her I'm being the adult. Like, hey, Christy Marie, my mom, I'm going
to
be the adult here because obviously this relationship's going down the toilet right now. I'll step in and be the adult.
Well, that's so true. I mean, because I was doing pretty good this holiday week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then what day was it that I had my meltdown?
It was the 24th. No, the 23rd.
I thought it was like the 26th.
Oh.
Did I have one from the 23rd? I think it was
26.
After Christmas.
It was Friday.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right, it was.
Yeah.
And it was like there was just a lot of family stuff.
Right.
Not just our family stuff. I mean, we had our nice party, and that went fine. Christmas Day did well. Oh, you know what? So let's back it up.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know, our truck broke down
mm-hmm.
on Monday.
Yes.
And it was not just like a little breakdown. It was had to be towed.
200 miles.
200 miles.
$1,400.
Didn't know what was going to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so all of this coming on Christmas week, and I was like, you know what? Stay strong. Stay in faith.
Yes.
And I did, and I was just, I think I was doing good. You know, there was a lot of little, you know, everybody that sent me a Christmas card got a Christmas card.
Yay!
You know, even, you know, it's kind of weird, like, when your dentist and your insurance guy.
I mean, you just want to say, I send you a Christmas card every time I make you a payment.
That's right, exactly.
my gift keeps on giving.
it's the people that you give the money to that, you know, send you the card with the stamp on it.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, but the people that are paying you, So I'm trying to think, though, but it was Friday, and I think I was doing okay, but then we went to, you know, our place of business, where our truck was. And I think something just happened in my brain that just started it just switched off or switched on, and I started going into like a snowball.
Right.
And I, as it was happening, I was like, okay, you can get back. You can get
right.
back from this. But I was absolutely in just one of those meltdowns that you have, you know, a couple times a
right.
year or whatever. And I knew that as I was doing this, and my behavior was kind of bad, I guess. I don't know. I was like, I'm going to have to do a lot of apologizing, you know, when I come back to my senses.
And you knew this was happening. I'm going to apologize. But
yeah, there's just part of my brain, and I was like, wow, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, girlfriend. You know? And I was doing all the things that I don't want to do. You know,
right.
And,
right.
And all this stuff. And how long do you think I was kind of out of my mind?
How long do you want me to say?
Oh, I want you. What you think is? You think
was
I'm
a couple
still
hours?
There?
No, gosh, no.
No,
I was about 2 or 3 hours. I would say.
I would say 3.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, it's more. Let's see.
No, I mean, it went on for a while, but we weren't together, so it wasn't like I could feel it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. 3 or 4 hours, and you know, then I had a little food, glass of wine, and I go, man, I'm starting to feel a little bit better, getting my mind back, started having to apologize. But still, it still wasn't totally over because I was continually being triggered because you were having to go to all these family events.
Yes.
And I was trying to get some work done.
Yes, for us. We were doing work.
It
was, and I just, I always know when to keep my mouth shut when you always said, and you got to go over to Doug's again, or yeah, in that tone. I'm like, yes. Well, we got work to do.
I'm so sorry.
I know.
Well, you know, all I could think of was, you know, we've got work to do. You know, we've got a business to run. We've got money to make. And you know, my truck broke down, and just the towing was $1,400. How many thousands of dollars is it would take to the blown gasket and
right.
all this stuff. And so not only was all this costing money this week, we only worked one day.
Right.
As opposed to a 5-day work week. And then it spiraled out of control again because there was a lack of communication. We're losing loads this week.
Yes.
So I was, you know, guess your mama wasn't a happy camper.
Well, I understand because when these things come up, especially when they're in direct opposite of what you intend mm-hmm. and what you just a week before claimed with, you know, what your financial goal was for this mm-hmm. year. And you're mm-hmm. like, whoa, how does that happen? How did
right.
I claim this? And then all of a sudden this happens.
Well, I mean, that's, in a lot of ways, that's typical. Though.
That's very typical.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's typical, except that we can't,
I don't know either.
We can't assume that stuff happens. It's entropy. It's a law of entropy. Mm-hmm. And that's why in every religious text, every spiritual text, it talks about some way of getting over obstacles, problems, situations that you have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
They happen. I don't care if you're in a perfect alignment with peace and harmony and joy and good things and prosperity and abundance, something happens. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how our economy's built.
And see, I know that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on the planet a while.
Yeah.
And but I mostly handle that decently.
Right. It was just too much all at one time. And it was also, I'm going to let people in a little secret with my mama.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest complaints you have about life or anything is that you refuse to be treated like a chump. And
thanks, Jewel. Just my innermost workings here.
Is that true?
Tell the world.
Is that the most? No, it's not the most innermost.
It probably is, though. I mean, you say those words, and I go right back to a, you know, like a situation that happened when I was like in the second grade or something. You know,
yeah.
It sort of marked me to not feel like a chump in my life.
Right, and so what one thing had happened was on Wednesday, we heard that the truck wasn't in bad shape, that it was just a clogged hose and it was taken care of. And we're like, well, how do we feel with that, knowing that we spent a lot of money on going mm-hmm. and it wasn't anything wrong? And then on Friday going, wait a minute, there was stuff wrong on the truck. You had to do a lot of work to get it working again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's totally the opposite of what you told me.
Right.
And you had a lot of things, and like you were charged a couple hundred bucks extra for this one part. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, that wasn't supposed to happen. That's not the price you quoted me. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of little things happen
mm-hmm.
that you're like, where? What's going on here?
Yeah. And I mean, I can see you saying that about the chump thing, right? I refuse to be a chump. But for me, the higher principle that
mm-hmm.
I would say is I hate slothful business practices.
Right.
You know that.
I do.
Yeah.
And that always, I believe that to be true, and we really work on our business practices because you just feel that every dollar should be accounted for, and I agree, and that when you have no control over those dollars, like when somebody overcharges you
mm-hmm.
and you can't get it resolved,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the fact that people say that, well, this can get resolved in your favor. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I mean, I need this part. They're the only person that sells it. You know, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Either you're going to give it to me cheaper or they're not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or like we went on Friday to check on the truck and, you know, look at the bill and everything. And they go, well, we haven't worked on that yet, the bill.
Really? How is that possible? I mean, it's been, you know, why don't you know what that's going to cost and how much?
That's scary.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
I mean, you know, are you waiting till the end of the week to see, you know, if you've missed your mark or you haven't, you
right.
know?
That's exactly, that's how you feel sometimes.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I do.
And so you go across this fact that they are not my source. I know where my source of income comes, you know, my abundance, my prosperity. It's just currency. I know that that's what I do. I run through all my spiritual, prosperous mantras,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then you go and, oh, screw you.
Well, then, when did you have your meltdown? You had on Saturday, I think.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you don't remember.
I didn't. Okay. Yes. I got typically my meltdowns are always self-loathing. And I don't know why. I always feel bad afterwards. I always feel funny. That's hysterical.
I know. You're coughing.
No, it's hysterical that I always feel so bad after my self-loathing episodes. You know, and I hate them when they happen in front of someone like my mama, because then you'll bring up a point, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I really don't feel that bad about myself. I just had a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Can we let it go? It doesn't mean anything more than what it means, than what I said, and
yeah.
I'm working on it. And I think then you comment, you said, I forget how horribly you think of yourself. I'm like, that's not true. I think much better than that. I just had a moment. Please, I let this moment just pass.
Just let it be, Mom.
Be, Mom, please. Mm-hmm.
You sure you don't want therapy about this?
Yeah, I go, well, I'll just have to remember this for next time. I'm like, no, please don't remember this for next time.
That's really what I felt, though. Because I wasn't totally, you know, because I had my meltdown on Friday. You had yours on Saturday. And
yeah.
I wasn't like, I was better, but I wouldn't call me back in the zone again.
Right. So you were in no place to hear my meltdown and be the adult about it.
Right, exactly.
You know. And actually, everyone, we are better from our colds. We're almost there.
Yeah.
We're doing much better.
4 months later.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And I just got through having an emergency vitamin C so that I would, you know, weigh my system up, you know.
Vamp up that immune
yeah.
system. And so a trigger had happened on Saturday, and I literally just for about 2 minutes had a rampage of how stupid I was. No, knowing very well that my words are powerful,
yeah,
and that I choose my words, you know, very closely, but I couldn't let it go, and then I stopped, and then you got real quiet. And I'm like, and I just thought, oh my god,
now it's gonna go.
Now what's the guy?
Oh,
oh my god!
But these things happen though with us. I mean, not often, but it's
enough.
The price I think we pay for.
Right.
You know, just
having a close relationship.
Yeah, choosing to have this close relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? We're better for it.
Yes, we are.
At least it's been a fun ride, that's for sure.
So, Julie, let me ask you this question, though. So if you're back at talking to, let's just call her Drina, and you're suggesting forgiveness all the way around.
Yes, as a starting place.
Yes, as a starting place. And she says, not there. What would you suggest then? Would you have another suggestion, or would you just go, well, here's my prediction, Drina, for 2015. You know, if you continue to do the same thing and expecting different results, that's the, you know, Webster's definition of insanity.
I think if I wanted to be the manipulator in all this, you know, let's say I was her mother, and I really wanted her to start developing a relationship with her children and her grandkids, I would start off by having game night, like once every 6 weeks. I'd invite her kids, because, you know, and her grandkids and her, and I invite me and, you know, my guy and her kids, other people. And we do war, or we do spoons. War, probably not, but spoons. Spoons is a fun game. Uno, trivia, young trivia
game. Hollywood game night.
Yeah, have a Hollywood game night. First off, we're being active together, and we're starting to build memories. And that's how I would start. And I may, if I was a mom, the matriarch of the family, I might say, guys, you know what? I really need this for my family. I need once every other month for us all to get together and play games and have pizza.
Right, and have, like, the only rule is...
No complaining.
Right.
No complaining. And if we all have stuff to do, there isn't much complaining going on. And that's the thing. And I would start there.
Or, like, nobody breaks bad.
Nobody breaks bad.
And maybe it could only be, like, an hour and a half.
Right.
So that nobody breaks bad.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, I told Doug one time, I said, you know, just want to let everybody know that after about 3 or 4 hours of big parties, nothing good happens after that unless you're being really directed into an activity, you know, a lot of activity. But just chatting typically goes to a deeper subject matter. You start sharing your soul or letting secrets out that shouldn't be let out.
Yeah. After that, I that's sort of similar to, like, what my dad would say, you know, Christine, you got to be home by midnight because nothing good happens after midnight.
Nothing good happens after midnight, and I totally agree with that. That's my belief, too. Just nothing. What could possibly happen that's good after midnight? Nothing.
Right. Oh, well, speaking of that, though, one of the cousins or whatever, 16 years old, and gets off of work at midnight, right? And drives 4 hours.
Yes.
And the mom goes, the mom's saying, don't do this. This is not right for a 16-year-old girl to be driving at, you know, midnight till 4 or whatever. But the father calls it.
It's a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage.
Or a ride of passage, one or the other.
That's
my play. Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, interesting. I go, that wouldn't have flown in my family.
No flag would have flown for that one.
I go, no way would my mom have been overridden by my dad and or let me go, you know, 16 or 17, drive middle of night. First of all, you could fall asleep in the road.
Well, also, I don't, that's not the kind of, at 16, rite of passage that I think that... I don't know. I wouldn't have called it. Luckily, nothing bad happened, but that's not how I would have called that one.
No. I think at 18 is appropriate. I mean, not even appropriate. It just sometimes it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I think at 18, I wouldn't have, I don't think it would be a smart decision for a young girl to drive in the middle of the night across country.
Across state lines,
across
even.
I mean, just because.
Really, Jill, just because.
Just because. You know, maybe if you said, okay, I got my tank full.
Tire blows. I mean,
yeah, my tank's full. I've been to the bathroom. I'm going. You know? Mm-hmm. But like you said, if a tire blows, it is different now because you have cell phones or whatever or your idea. But it takes a while for a tow truck to pick you up. And then you're just by yourself. you know, a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I found it right at 4 in the morning, you know?
No. And I mean, rite of passage. I wouldn't have called that. No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You wouldn't have. Because I tried one time, and you said, no way, Jose.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going. And until you're 18 and out of the house, I don't care what you think you're going to do. But I have a job, and I have my own car, and I pay my own car insurance. So? And you're like, well, I guess, you know what? I'm willing to be the adult and let this go.
Yeah. I'm much nicer now, aren't I?
You're always nice. You've always been nice.
Yeah. Thank you, honey.
You're very, very welcome.
Yeah. So we've only got one more real, you know, week left in this, not even,
thank
just a few goodness. Days.
Thank goodness.
Left in this holiday season.
And it was funny, we were talking about 2014 this morning in a little family meeting or family get-together, and we were just saying, you know, the things I really wanted to have happened in 2014, maybe the seeds of them were laid,
okay.
But they weren't really manifested.
I agree.
But I can say that my spiritual side has really grown a lot.
I think that's exactly how I feel about 2014. Not a lot of the things that I, quote-unquote, how we do our goals and all that stuff. No, but something greater was planted and sowed this year. And it wouldn't have happened if these things had come to fruition.
Right.
Like, I think about when you threw your back out.
Mm-hmm.
And
doing yoga. Well, I mean, come on.
And
see, I was going to say something critical with myself.
Yeah, you
were. Like, close it off.
I mean, all of the good that even when we had, you got a cold from somebody, who knows when, and then you gave it to us, but then you got another one.
I know.
I mean, there was just like a lot of stuff that prevented, you know,
movement in certain areas. No,
yeah, but
no matter how I tried, I just couldn't get through it.
But we allowed that. We let the river flow.
Right.
And like I said, so much spiritual growth.
Because I was actually at those moments searching for it, wasn't I? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a time it could have happened.
Yeah.
When you're on, I mean, you hate to say it, but those are the times when you're down on your knees going, why is this happening? Does the growth occur?
Yes.
And now that you figure out why it happened, but you're like, well, you're open to us.
I mean, I feel like we're open to something bigger in
our
lives.
I mean, I still can't, I still don't know whether I'm open to more spiritual growth or I'm just choosing to just make the best of a bad situation.
Really?
Like, was it a bigger scheme and plan? You know, was this part of the bigger picture?
Mm-hmm.
But I look, or am I just making the best of a bad situation?
Making lemonade?
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to start. I didn't want to give you that.
Yeah, you didn't want to do it. You didn't want me to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to choose, because really our belief systems are just what we choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really want to choose that. In the bigger scheme of things, this was synchronicity. This was...
Did you say significant?
Significant and synchronistic.
Yeah. Well, I believe that mightily, heartily.
And I don't want... I'm actually thinking it's not even random, that I needed this to happen at this stage of my life for the next part of my life.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would my back go out and yoga. I've done yoga before in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't done power yoga before. where you mix yoga and like together.
Yeah. Oh my God. And you went, Mom, something snapped there.
I just go, wow, I'm feeling kind of tight back there.
Mm-hmm.
And as the moments are going, I'm going, I can't bend straight up.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of things. You know, there is faith. That's expanded. I think your character has, you know, you've dug deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You are, I think you're much more compassionate.
Oh, thank you. I am that because I will say that my compassion quotient has gone up completely.
Yes.
Because
I think you're wiser. You've gotten a lot more wisdom.
Huh?
There's a lot of things that I I've seen because of this.
And maybe those are things I had to learn for the next level of my journey.
I totally agree with that because I've seen, I think that if the things that you wanted to have manifested, it would have been the next rung in the ladder for you.
Right.
Now I see, and I'm even going to predict this and prophesy this a little bit.
Thank you. Do that for me,
that
please.
It's like what you've funded now this year has built a bridge. So, forget the rung on the ladder. Now, I think you're going to a bigger transformation or a whole different level. Well, what do bridges do? They, you can cross
over.
Cross the line, state line, or
well, it's a safer journey than the one below, right?
You bet. You bet.
So
you bet. So I just I see it as all good, really.
I like that.
I really do.
Well, before I leave and our short cute story, I just want to say to everybody, you can find out more about us at theclutterflyeffect.com, because that's our book title, The Clutterfly Effect, Tricking Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And I urge you to get that from Amazon. Help support our radio show. And it's been it's fun talking to my mom and interviewing awesome people. And
oh, yeah, speaking of interviewing, we're going to be doing that, right?
Next week we'll be doing one interview a week. And then talking, because we like doing that.
Yeah, it'll be about the second volume of the Unwavering Strength series.
Yes. And which you have a story in.
I do.
And where ordinary people demonstrated extraordinary strength, or unwavering strength, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And just the myths of conflict and struggle and everything. And I really call it our silent heroes, because people all the time step up to the plate.
You bet.
Or play hurt,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so I look forward to that book coming out probably late February, March.
Late February.
Yes. But I want to share one quick story before we go.
Yes.
It's about my brother and his little girls, 3 and 1. Hopefully no children are listening to the show right now. They are. Tell them to go away. But he called and he said, she's asking me such deep questions right now.
The three-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what kind of questions? Like, okay, so Dad, tell me how is it that Santa Claus can get down the chimney if there's no chimney? Or how he gets into our house? Tell me how that's happening. And how does he get into everybody's house?
Yeah.
All the same night. How is that happening? And
that's pretty young to start asking that.
And I'm thinking, my God, because she was just getting the idea of Santa Claus.
Right.
3, you think she'd want to, hold on to a little bit longer. But then she started asking questions like, okay, now, she said, so did you and Mom find me somewhere? Like, find me? Is that how you got me? Because you found me someplace?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did I get here in this... And this family at this moment,
mm-hmm.
he's like, well, your mom and I started dating. We fell in love. We got married. We made love and had you.
He said that?
I think if he told me. I don't know if he said to the little girl or not. And then you grew in her tummy.
That's not going to fly for her.
Well, they're not. They're about telling you as much truth as possible,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I like what Norm said. He goes,
ask your mom.
Yeah. Do what I did.
And then I
ask your mom.
Then she was talking to me, and she was saying, I'm so sad because Mom's working. I'm like, Mom and Dad have to work. And she goes, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she goes, I want to be a pirate. A pirate. I'm like, awesome. That's great, little kid. I love that. You can be whatever you want to be. Until about 12, and then we'll start crushing those dreams or redirecting those. What qualities does a pirate have?
Crushing versus redirecting.
Redirecting. Okay, they like to travel. They like the open seas. they like to have no rules and have lots of freedom. Well, what can we do for that? What could be your goal? What could be your dream job? Well, everyone, we want to say thank you for tuning into Life with the Girlfriends and just listening to our ramblings, because we enjoy it amazingly.
We do. We do. And it's always such a great time with you, honey.
Thank you. And it's always such a great time with you and all of our listeners. So have a wonderful, wonderful day, everyone.
And see you next year.
Yes. Bye-bye. Life was great. Life was great.